Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Browns take on the Broncos tonight, Monday Night Football. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3TheFan.com. But you know what, Daryl? To hell with it. Ohio State lost on Saturday. I think he got opinions on that. Let her ride, Dangerous One.
I'm fighting mad. Almost as fighting mad as the Buckeyes were after the game.
What do you think, Daryl? What are your thoughts?
I think Ryan Day's got to go. I mean, if this was not the era of the transfer portal and NIL and coaches making just ungodly sums of money, I think my view would be differently, because we'd just be talking about kids and student athletes. But it's basically minor league professional football in college football these days. And you cannot lose to Michigan 4 straight years, not with the talent that you have. Situational awareness at times this year, not great. Offense, not great. You can't. And I'm laughing at those that say, well, you know, if they go on to win the national championship, he'll be safe. They're not winning the national championship. This team chokes at critical moments under Ryan Day. And the case in point why he has to go is the way he stood there, absolutely clueless what to do during the melee. You're the head coach of the football team. You need to be in the middle of policing that and breaking it up, not just standing around like you're just a spectator. So, yeah, not a Ryan Day fan. He is who I thought he was. Not good enough. I think Ohio State needs to make a coaching change, because they're not winning the national championship.
Got third best odds. Daryl, third best odds.
Well, good for them. They couldn't beat an unranked Michigan team, Anthony. Mm. 10 points. That you got 10 points against an unranked Michigan team who came into your house and punked you. And then all your energy was spent after the game trying to fight them for wanting to plant a flag at midfield. I don't know. Maybe should have expended some of that energy scoring some points during the 60 minutes. You were allowed to hit them. So, yeah, I just... not real happy with Ryan Day and the Buckeyes this morning.
Where's that loss stack up for you? Is it just a sports fan? I saw people debating.
Oh, that was John Cooper-esque. I mean, he is John Cooper 2.0. Rarely wins the big game, and certainly doesn't win the game. Doesn't win a lot in the college football playoff either. So they're spending way too much money in Columbus to be losing games like that. Sorry. I mean, again, if the environment in college football was the good old days where, you know, we're just talking about student athletes and kids and things like that. No, but college football is big business now, and the standard in Columbus is a lot higher than the one he has his team play to.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, got to tell you, but we'll discuss that deeper at 8:20 after we are off the phone with you, because we got to talk Browns with you. And the Browns are taking on the Broncos. Is Jameis Winston, is he playing for a possible spot as a starting quarterback in 2025 for your Cleveland Browns?
At this point, I don't know if the Browns will be able to afford Jameis Winston if he keeps playing the way he's playing. Just like from a salary cap standpoint, cash, we know when it comes to the Haslams, that's really not an object when it comes to the team. This is the most expensive football team in NFL history this year, and unfortunately, the results don't reflect that investment. But I mean, he's been serviceable. Has he been great? No. Has he been terrible? No. He's been good enough. He's played winning football. If he keeps playing like this, would I want him back next year? Absolutely, 100%. I think, you know, depending what the quarterback landscape looks like, and let's be honest about it, it's probably not going to be great. I think that he gives them a viable option next year. I don't know that he's going to be able to lead them to the playoffs, but they're going to be much more competitive with him at quarterback than Deshaun Watson. And I can say that because, well, they have been, in the 4 weeks he's been out there, more competitive than they have been the previous 7 weeks with Deshaun Watson. So, I don't know that he is taking it to the promised land, but he can certainly keep the boat afloat for you, and I think he's done a pretty good job since coming on.
Does it have more to do with Jameis, or does it have more to do with what's available in the draft?
Well, I would be in favor of, I would not draft a quarterback this year, but that's just me. Unless I'm taking a flyer on the guy in a later round and seeing if I can develop him and find something there, because it's just not worth it this year to me. But I think that even if, let's say, Anthony, there was a guy or two or three in this particular quarterback class that you want to draft, right, in the first round, even if you did that, I probably would still want to bring Jameis Winston back. I'd move on from DTR. I'd move on from anyone else there, and I would have Jameis be the starter and have the rookie develop behind the scenes, because you're seeing, and I think that the Browns are in a better position than some of these bad teams, really, really bad teams, with similar records from a roster standpoint. I think the Browns have a better roster and possibly could put a rookie quarterback on the field without throwing him to the wolves into abject failure like you're seeing a lot of teams do. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of franchises make with their young quarterbacks. And I realize it's not a one-size-fits-all solution to that situation, but I feel like that young quarterback development, first of all, they don't come into the league anymore very well developed, and you need some time to develop them a little bit in many cases, and you're just not affording them the opportunity, whether it's they got bad coaching around them, and then also you combine that with bad rosters around them. That's just not conducive for that first-round draft pick investment turning into your franchise quarterback years down the line.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time getting over this Cedric Tillman concussion that he's going to be out, because I want to evaluate him. And it's not even like me evaluating. I want the fan base to, because I think it would make us feel a little better about the future here if he were to continue to just develop, and now it kind of muddies the water a little bit because, you know, I can make arguments for Kevin. I can try to make arguments for Andrew, but I felt the more he was doing, the better that Cedric Tillman was doing, the less I had to argue on Andrew's behalf that he should come back and make the decision. And I guess I'm arguing with myself because I want to be able to trust him to go into the draft and make the picks and bring in the free agents here because, you know, there's another name here, Juan Thornhill, with a calf yet again. And I'm like, man, we've talked a lot about Juan Thornhill. We just haven't seen a lot of Juan Thornhill.
Well, the next safety that Andrew Berry signs in free agency that actually can have an impact on the field will be the first. Because, I mean, let's be honest about it. Juan's not made a lot of plays,
no.
Even when he's been available. I like him a lot. I like the energy he brings behind the scenes. I think he's a good locker room guy. Certainly, I feel there's talent there, but it's just been a disappointment. Let's just call it what it is. And certainly, the injuries have played a pretty significant role in that regard. You know, Tillman will be back, I think, and get an opportunity. He's played well the last couple weeks, so I get your frustration there. I'd like to see Jerry Jeudy tonight play really, really well. Because, again, guy you traded for, this one you gave a pretty nice contract extension to, and would like to see he's on pace for a career year, so would like to see him really step up again tonight against the Broncos. But, yeah, I mean, look, where the Browns are at 3-8, people are auditioning for jobs, right? And I get your point, Ken. You'd like to see some of the guys that Andrew brought in here, whether it's through the draft or free agency or trades, you'd like to see something from them so you can talk yourself into staying the course and not having to make any changes. And it doesn't sound like ownership right now has an appetite to make changes. But, yeah, I mean, you'd like to see some of these guys, you know, show they're worthy of being core pieces to this team in 2025, and that obviously means that Andrew Berry gets to keep his job.
Well, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy, and this is quite an interesting showdown with a homecoming game and a team that he would absolutely love to go off against. What have you seen this year from Jerry Jeudy, and is it in some ways vindicating management, validating their thought on the wide receiver position?
Well, I don't know if it's validating anything. But, you know, Jeudy, I think, has kind of come on. I think the quarterback change has helped. You know, I think that what we're learning this year is how bad Deshaun Watson is and how much he held everything back. That is, like, my top takeaway from this season right now is that he was that bad. And, you know, offense is scoring more points. They're moving the ball more. They're throwing for more yardage. Their third down still stinks, but it looks like a competent operation. Are there things that still need to be improved and fixed? Absolutely. But yeah. I feel like, you know, Jeudy has been able to get those opportunities. And he talked about this earlier. You know, part of the reason he wanted out of Denver wasn't feeling like he got the opportunities. Well, you look at the last four games with Jameis, a quarterback, 5 catches, 79 yards against the Ravens, 7 for 73 against the Chargers, the Saints, 6 for 142 and a score. Last week against the Steelers, 6 for 85. He's getting opportunities. The previous four games, okay, he had 6 against the Raiders, but then 1 catch against the Commanders, 1 catch against the Eagles, 1 catch against the Bengals. Not a lot of opportunity there. So I think what you're seeing with Jeudy right now, Lima, is that he's getting opportunity. He's taking advantage of the opportunity and showing us what he can do.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the show. All right, Darryl, so if they go and they win in Denver, what's that mean to you long term for the Browns?
I mean, it just means that, you know, they went and did their job because they're out of the playoff picture, in my view. My biggest concern now going into this game, Ken, is the offensive line against that Denver pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Denver's got 44 sacks this season. That's tops in the NFL. You got four guys that you have to deal with that have at least 5 of those: Zach Allen, John Franklin Myers, John the Cooper, Nick Benito. Benito's just been going bonkers this year, 10 sacks, Him and Allen have around a dozen tackles for loss on top of that. And if anyone pays attention to anything that Jim Schwartz says on Thursdays and during his media availability, he looks at tackles for losses the same as a sack, because there's dropping guys for losses behind the line of scrimmage. One obviously gets a little more weight than the others, and then obviously we'll see if Miles can get to the 100 sack milestone. He's a sack and a half away, and he'd be the first player in NFL history to do that before his 29th birthday. He turns 29 later this month, but yeah, they went great. Everyone will be in a great mood, but I don't think that changes really the course of history for this franchise going to Denver and winning in a place, quite frankly, they struggled to win just once, actually twice, I should say, in seven or eight trips since 1990. Not a very hospitable place for the Cleveland Browns, but they've done it in recent memory. Back in 2018, they won in Denver, so we'll see if they can do it again on Monday Night Football.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again at the end of the week, my friend.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the game tonight.
The exceptional Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Strong stuff about Jameis and his future, about the quarterbacks and whatnot. Boy, they were very strong about Deshaun Watson. There's some people who are like, well, you can't really kick him off the team, so maybe you give him another shot. I just don't think there's quote unquote such a thing as a competition. I think if you find yourself, if you were to inflict them with honesty, they would go, well, if we were going to have a competition, quote unquote, we would hope that he doesn't win the competition, because if he wins the competition, it's not where he would just go, unless he were to go out there and play exceedingly well next year. It's where, boy, if he wins the competition, more than likely you have an even worse quarterback situation than you could have thought you would have going into an entire season. And a quarterback competition is something I don't think you want any of your, you don't want a coach that's been around for a while to actually have that. If you have a quarterback competition, I think there's been a lot of guys who have had quote-unquote competitions, open competitions. They wouldn't have been head coaches very much longer afterwards, because they knew that the situation was probably
impossible. Because it divides. Forget about the fan base. We know how that divides a fan base. We've been through that countless times with the Browns in the past. But it also divides a locker room.
Yes.
And players have,
because you're forced to choose.
Yeah, you kind of are.
The players are. His own teammates are forced to choose, yes.
So that does make it very, very tough. But, when you go to a bridge quarterback, which is what Jameis would be if they bring him back next year, bridge quarterbacks are always on thin ice. They're never guaranteed anything. So, yeah, it's easy for us to say, Jameis is the quarterback next year. Well, he is, unless they start out 0-3, and then, you know what I mean? Like, that's... Yeah. That a bridge quarterback, it always is like, oh, it makes sense on paper, buys us a year and gets us to whatever. But oftentimes, it doesn't really work out that way.
Guys, we're getting maced, according to Tone, which is true. There was pepper spray going on. Not a good situation. All right, should they get rid of flag planting? Should they make it illegal? I don't think they should. They will. They will.
Well, here's a few things here. I have no problem. I said this when Baker Mayfield did this. And I remember, I was doing a statewide thing. And we were waiting for the press conference, Urban Meyer's press conference. And I said, you know what? Ohio State fans are going to absolutely hate this. And I said, this is great for college football. At that time, I did say that. And now that it became the norm on Saturday, and I think especially because people saw it in the Ohio State-Michigan game, now they caught wind of it. And now everybody wants to do that. And Michigan's been involved in a bunch of melees over the last, seems like over the last like 8 years, whether it's the tunnel incidents or whatever, like Michigan definitely is down for a fight, win or lose, in a bunch of games. There's no doubt that planting a flag is going to provoke. It is. Like, I saw people saying, Ohio State, you lost, take it and then go into the locker room. Well, think of the timing of when all of this is going on. Like, it's one thing to plant a flag when the team is already gone and doing their alma mater and they're in the bowels of the venue. This is right there with a bunch of players trying to sit there and pray at midfield. Like, you're going to provoke a fight. There is no doubt a fight is going to ensue. So part of it, like the showmanship and the rivalry, like, I got to be honest, we've always loved that. We've always loved David Boston getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, the Charles Woodson days. Like, we've loved the double birds in the shoe. I mean, in the big house. Like, that stuff has always been...
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Immortalized, but this was at the end of the game. It was over. And then when you got the highway patrol involved and the sheriffs and they're macing the players, like that's where it's gone from fun to kind of insane that it got to that point.
Went a little nuts. Got a little out there. I'm one of the people who I'm definitely like, hey man, you had 60 minutes to stop this thing on the field and you didn't. And it was, I mean, one of the greatest, I think it should be for an Ohio State fan, one of the greatest embarrassments you ever witnessed, watching the Buckeyes go out there and lose like that to Michigan. I wish that there was a way, because I think that one of the fun things about college football and sports in general is rubbing it in. And I think that now, because they are paid in so many ways, it's like, yeah, you know what? Entertain me. Go ahead and entertain me.
Yeah, we're kind of done with class.
Yeah. But I ask you, like, were we ever done with class? Did we ever have it to begin with? I mean, I responded to somebody on social media. Like, you look back at a lot of the traveling trophies. A lot of them are born of nefarious things. Like the little brown jug. They thought that Minnesota was going to poison their water. So they brought the jug, and that's how the little brown jug starts. Like poisoning water. You had the story, like, I don't know if you ever saw the SEC story, like the first Alabama-Auburn game. A fan pulls a gun on a bunch of players who wanted to fight him. Like, this is the early 1900s, for crying out loud. What was there? Was modicum and decorum there? Like, no. But I see this. It's not a good look for anybody involved. It's not a good look. And I don't think that Michigan or Ohio State are going to like scratching a $100,000 check to the Big Ten over it. So I think it'll be outlawed. But I do wonder about where the fun goes after that, because I think it's a matter of time before field storming gets, I don't know how they outlaw it, but it's going to get outlawed. And they've tried to do that somewhat where it's like, hey, you start a fine, or if a goalpost gets tore down, you start a fine, something like that. It just seems that there's never going to be anything just, all right, you can storm the field and that's it. Because I can't condone field storming, whereas what's the game Oklahoma lost last year and that idiot is in the kid's face with a phone trying to get him to hit him, trying to get this Oklahoma football player to hit him. Like, I can't do that. Like, if you got two football players being football players, like, yeah, guys get into it, and I don't want to sit there and say it's easy because it's not, but you get guys in football stuff going after each other. It's a heated moment. If I got some idiot fan out there trying to get some player to punch me, what am I really accomplishing?
Well, just going
here?
Forward, like, no team is going to just sit there and take it. They're not just going to allow that to happen. So, is it incumbent on the coaches to try to prevent this before it even starts? Because we watched other coaches intervene in this, and it led to some dispersing of this going on. Ryan Day didn't. Ryan Day just stared at it from a distance, didn't do anything,
He
didn't know what to do. And so it was up to the players. So it was the players and the staffers that were in the middle of it. And obviously, a lot of guys are wearing helmets, yeah. But there were some takedowns. You know, there was some of that. There was some 3-on-1 stuff going on too. Both sides. Not like I'm going to point out one over the other. Now there were
Who was 85
there were two,
for Ohio State who like, got
he was
ragdolled.
Getting ragged. Yeah. There were two Michigan guys that barely played in the game that were special teams guys.
Yeah.
And they kept this thing going. Like the thing was over, and then they ran the length of the field again to continue on. Like that type of stuff is going to get somebody killed. Like it's going to get somebody to get really roughed up. And when especially it's guys that don't play. Like if it's the guys that actually played. Like it's always funny when it's, hey, Ohio State.
Bennett Christian, I think it was.
Ohio State, you had 60 minutes to do something about it. All right, but those two idiots from Michigan didn't do anything for 60 minutes.
Thank you, man.
They had nothing to do with this at all. So they shouldn't be a party to this. It should kind of be the guys that actually did something in the game. And then the Michigan kid to say it was classless of Ohio State, like they don't lose with class. There's no class involved. Like, the winners had no class. The losers had no class. This was a classless experience all the way around. I think everybody could understand it.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody can accuse the other ones of being classless or anything. But I look at what Ryan Day did leading up to the game. You did a lot of tough talking. Your time to talk tough. Your time to defend your field was the 60 minutes of football that you had before you scored 10 points. And nothing in the second half. But does that because I think that it's stupid that he's done nothing but talk tough and punch down. And I feel, I'm honest, I feel like the job has consumed him, and I don't feel he's the right man for it anymore. Does that mean that they should plant flags on the field?
Well, nobody's, I wrestle that. I just hate
the idea of getting rid of fun because of stupidity.
But it's also planting a flag. There's no strategy or skill involved. Like, nobody's protecting midfield before it happens.
I would say getting the flag to stand up would be the skill now because it's all turf.
Well, that's why the trident that they try to use.
That's a workaround.
It's the fork over at Arizona State. It's a little bit different. Done. But in this case, like, if Ohio State wanted, they put all their biggest guys, or if they cared that much about it, they put all their biggest guys and their highway patrol guys around the logo at midfield. And then I'm guessing Michigan doesn't go and plant the flag. They probably couldn't. So, I mean, you could stop it if you really wanted to.
Think about this. They do have security people stand around the field goal posts.
I think it's over. I think this whole conversation that is happening all around the country, by the way, because there were four of them, at least four that broke out.
Oh, I thought that saw like six.
Were there really?
All together. Yeah.
So it's become a copycat thing. They're just gonna say we're suspending guys for doing it, and that's the end. That's the end. Then they've gotten rid of some of the fun, because I agree with you. It is fun to rub it in a little bit. Like,
yes.
I always love when high school, anytime it's down state championships, the losing team's fans are like, those guys were classless. Now, they won and they celebrated.
Yeah.
And yes, because of how spirited things get between the two sides, yes, they're going to rub it in. And it happens 100% of the time. I've never seen a team not be accused of it down, and that's in high school.
Well, you think about
this.
So you
can imagine college.
You think about this, like, what, Marion Locals won it like every year, right? And there were people critical of Marion Locals because their coach was like, get back on the bus, and that's it. Like,
no
there
fun.
Was no celebrating at all. And they're like, well, you just want to stay tight. You ain't allowed to celebrate. So they're like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't in that spot. I do. I think that not really in high school, but I think in college and the pro, I'm going to rub it in. I want to, like, there's so much money that's being passed now. I want my fan base, my customer base, to take it personally. I mean, I'm the same person, and you've said you've agreed with this. I mean, you guys want to exchange jerseys? Go do that in the tunnel. You are putting on a show for your fan base. And if you go out there and you lose in front of your own fan base, and you guys are hunky dory and exchanging jerseys out there on the field, it's like, why do I get so upset when you're not? It's another one of those walls in between you and the fans. Why do that?
But then also,
it's supposed to be, at least if it's entertainment, it's still supposed to be a show.
What did you think of Donovan Edwards of Michigan kneeling as all this is about to break out?
You're more than welcome to go ahead and do such a thing in that moment if you want to.
So an Ohio State player, here's where we could tell that things got really out of hand from a fan perspective. Ohio State players were getting ripped by Ohio State fans for getting down there and praying at midfield after the game. That's how psychotic it got, because fans didn't want to see anything.
I've seen that before.
They didn't want to see any. They wanted the players to just go home and get out of there and never be seen again.
I think in that moment, can I really start ripping on everybody and how they behave in that moment when it's one of the greatest shocking losses I think I've ever seen a college football team have? I mean, you know, say what you want to about the App State loss, and that was one of the worst losses I think I've ever seen. That happened at the beginning of the year. I mean, this has so much that's wrapped into it. You've done all these things to beat this team, and they still beat you, and they beat you at home. 9, 10, 15-year-old Ken Carmen would have been taking a bat to something. I'm telling you right now. If that happened when I'm 15 years old, I'm destroying something in the house. And my dad wants to fight me. So I can't imagine what a Buckeye fan was feeling there. I don't know if it's the proper place to sit there and judge the way that people acted in that moment.
And then what happens if you're sitting there praying with the kid from Michigan, and then now all of a sudden you got to get into a fight to stop the flag from getting
planted? Is he the first person I grabbed to get into a fight with? I don't think that should be the way it goes.
All right, I guess we're fighting now.
Dan,
we went from a solemn prayer to the Lord.
Well,
let's duke it out.
Well, when we're done duking it out, we can go back and finish the prayer if you really want
to.
I mean, yeah, there's no rules there.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
All right, very rough start for Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the 3-win Carolina Panthers. But all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter late, after Bryce Young had forged ahead with the go-ahead touchdown pass to put the Panthers up 3, Baker went to work. He orchestrated a brilliant drive, had a great scramble, which it looked like he got big-time injured, and then set him up for the game-tying field goal. They made it. They go to overtime, and they win the game to get to 6-6, a much-needed victory, and another come-from-behind fourth-quarter special from Baker Mayfield. Was not playing at his best, was also playing very banged up.
Honestly, it scared the daylights out of me. I've seen some people pop their Achilles before, and they say it feels like you get cleated in the back. It was a little painful, but got taped up again and go back out there. Now, I'm the idiot that went in on a 3rd-and-1, took Kyle Trask out, and threw a pick right to number 25's chest, but we found a way to win.
So Baker, little self-deprecation, that'll go a long way, and really has found a home in Tampa Bay. Like, they're 6-6, and you know, he got Mike Evans back. They've had the wide receiver injuries, trying to make the most of that situation. We had a caller earlier in the show say, oh, they'll never win a Super Bowl there. Just like he said, Jameis won't win a Super Bowl here. Baker's never going to win a Super Bowl. Is it unfair to totally count out Baker Mayfield? Because he has had a very, very good year, I think, overall.
Yeah, but do you take them as a Super Bowl contender at all?
No.
No.
Okay. Yeah, but he's in the NFC. He's got a better chance than a lot of the other guys. I mean, you got four of the top quarterbacks are in the AFC, and
that's
they're going to have to fight each other
although,
every year.
Although Philadelphia, they are on a roll, and obviously we know Detroit seems like the best team in the NFL
but
all year.
They seem to be the kryptonite for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember, beat them in the playoffs and then beat them again.
All right, Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
I think we're starting to see the downfall of the San Francisco 49ers. A 35-10 loss in Buffalo last night. Third straight for San Fran. They're 5-7. And Christian McCaffrey, according to head coach Kyle Shanahan, might be done for the year.
They're saying they think it's PCL. I think potentially. I'm not exactly sure yet. You know, I think PCL is usually a couple weeks, but I'm not exactly sure yet.
That's it, right?
Boy, they've had every significant player, all the names you've heard of for San Francisco. Each and every one of them have been injured this year, whether it's Bosa, Trent Williams, McCaffrey, Kittle,
Ayuk,
Debo Samuel. Every single one of them injured. Somebody said earlier this year, they're like, oh, the Browns and their injuries. I'm like, well, guys, yeah, there have been injuries around the league every year. It's every year we've been doing this show, we've had Browns injuries. Have we ever had a season like that where every guy has been injured, all the top guys on a team? Miles Garrett, he's been healthy. You know, and that's been...
Yeah, he's played. I don't know if he's been healthy, but yeah, he's but been healthy enough to play.
Like, the 49ers have had guys that have missed, like, 5 games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not recovering. If Miles Garrett had to miss, like, 5 games, that's it.
Yeah.
That would have been really, really bad. You just, even as good as I think Shanahan is, can't overcome that.
No, but I don't think that it's costing him his future, except for, like, the window to win now. But I think the window's
that's
closing.
Fine. Nick and Jonathan had on Albert Breer last week, and they were like, there's some rumors about the future of Kyle Shanahan. Breer's like, what are you talking about? He was like, what, somebody on the internet said that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Now, maybe next year, if they finish like 5-whatever this year, and then...
The way the league is, I don't care who you are. I mean, obviously, Kyle Shanahan would have a job in 2 seconds, basically anywhere else in the league.
I mean, I thought Mike Vrabel was Teflon.
Yeah, and that's a great... boy, he was. He's coach of the year.
And I think that Mike Vrabel, had he really wanted a job, I think Mike Vrabel probably would have got a job. And I think he'll get a job this year if he wants a job. Maybe even in Columbus.
Owen?
Owen's wild thing.
Well, you got him paid. Now you can get him fired, I guess, Anthony Lima. Justin Tucker, he sucks. He sucks at kicking now. He's not the greatest kicker anymore. He cost the Baltimore Ravens a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. They played a great game. Lamar is still an MVP-level player, but it doesn't matter when you miss 2 field goals and an extra point and you lose by 5 points. If you do the math on that, they wouldn't have lost had he not missed those kicks. But he sucks now. He just sucks. He sucks at football.
It is bizarre.
You got to do one thing, Justin. Kick it through the uprights.
Yep.
He just doinks it off the pole now.
You either make it or you miss it.
And there are so many guys that can easily kick from... I mean, somebody attempted a 68-yarder in the New England game. It looked like it was going in. I think it was probably like 4 yards short. But 68 yards, and it was right down the middle.
Yeah,
it didn't get blocked.
It hit the pad on the goalpost.
Yeah.
But at least it was down the middle and not It was. Off the upright.
Yeah, Tucker.
Very accurate.
Tucker, it's clearly in his head because it's not physical.
So the speculation, at least on the Kansas City chatter boards, is that, remember last year during the playoffs, the Ravens hosted the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and Tucker put his helmet down in front of Mahomes and Kelce while they were warming up. Kelce threw the helmet. Tucker, since that point, is like a 73% field goal kicker, and before he was a 90%.
Like, what? It has to be mental. What else could it be for the kicker? Like, even if he's not able to kick it as far, like, say he's like 3 yards less.
You get the yips
that doesn't
and the
explain
yips
the misses.
Yeah, you get the yips and the yips add on. It's almost like us when we start.
Ryan Day has the yips against Michigan.
Yeah, because you think about it so much. It's the same thing as like when you're air checking yourself while you're on the air. You can't, if you mess something up, you can't sit there and think about it while you're on the air. You're going to mess the next thing up. Well, he's probably thinking about it when he goes out there and he messed it up.
Ken's
wild thing.
I watched this during Thanksgiving dinner, Matt Eberflus, and the situation that played out with seconds remaining in the football game. It started out as gobs of time, which ended up being a last second, what turned into a 40-yard Hail Mary. Is this Matt Eberflus on the situation right before he got canned?
You know, and then we're there at second and 20. You know, take the sack right there. You know, so we're at 36 seconds right there. And our hope was, because it was third going into fourth, that we would rack that play at 18 seconds, throw it in bounds, get it into the field goal range, and then call the timeout. And that's where it was, and that was our decision-making process on that. Again, we were outside the field goal range, you know, so we needed to get a few more yards in there, as close as we can get, and then we're going to call timeout, and that's why we held that last timeout at the end of the game. Disappointing for the players. They put a lot of work in a short week and put themselves in position to win that game.
And that is why I felt if you're going to make a move, you make a move before this first season with Caleb Williams. It's a lost season now in his first year. These owners never listen to this. We did the same thing with Baker. Okay, you bring in a rookie. If you know you're going to be bringing in a rookie, like with that first pick, it's time to move on.
This is their third first-round quarterback in a row that they've done this with, where they brought him in and fired the head coach that same year.
Move on. Start with someone new. And you could always – it doesn't mean you're going to get him right. Like, you could always pick a guy who's he's a great wizard with the play calling and end up not being a leader of men and end up ruining the whole thing as well. But there's this stink, and it just adds more problems that the rookie quarterback has to come in and fix. And remember, he's leaving a real stinky situation with the situation he was leaving at USC, and now you have to take over and cover up for this. You'll put him in a spot with somebody, grow together, or have somebody who's already been a head coach before, let him grow with him. You put too much pressure on the rookie when you do that, and they never listen. They never listen.
Isn't that one of the situations?
That was What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon.
Look, just wrap
locations
it up.
In Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Still okay. Go ahead.
Isn't that one of the press conferences where you just say I screwed up?
Yeah.
Can't that be the one? I mean, sitting there and trying to defend that.
He made me look really great in front of my in-laws because he said, that dude is getting fired. And then the next day he did.